You have been credited with using the term prebendalism.
Yes.
Can you explain to us what that means and how it relates to Nigeria's political system today?
Prebendalism is a term that I came up with in 1979 when I was studying the transition to civilian rule in Nigeria. And this was a transition from a military government then led by General Olusegun Obasanjo. And so what the term refers to, it really is a term referred that derives from the word a prebend. And a prebend goes back to early European forms of governance, including ecclesiastical. And a prebend is, in technical terms, is an office that a person occupies, and it is expected that the person occupying that office would use the resources to support him or herself, as well as carry out the duties of the office. Now, and Max Weber, famous sociologist, talked about prebendal as a form of a very decentralized patrimonial system. So it's a term that, you know, exists, but in historical terms.
Okay.
Now, I adapted it to Nigeria because I was aware that attitudes towards the use of governmental office was very much prebendal, that people were looking at offices that they had. It could be an elective office, it could be an appointed office, but looking at it as a way of generating revenues for themselves that then they can use to allocate and distribute it, I mean, as they chose, as opposed to looking at the office in terms of what are the services to be performed and how the funds available for that office would be used in that way. So it was a term that I used, and I saw this as undermining the strength and legitimacy of the system in Nigeria.
Okay, and that's the political system in Nigeria. And speaking of how it undermines the Nigerian system, I'm
right.
Sure it does undermine every political system in which it exists. You say that it does undermine the Nigerian system, but mainly because of it's in the process of trying to adopt a liberal democracy. Is that the problem?
Well, first of all, I mean, let me stress that this is not only in Nigeria. I mean, you have it in many African countries in which people enter offices and use those offices, and when people refer to corruption, they're normally talking about this. But what the idea of prebendalism brings to it is that it's a very structural system, and once it's in place, it's very hard to change it. You know, the recent struggle in India is very much against the way in which people have very prebendal attitudes to the use of offices. So in the case of Nigeria, and this is why this conference was so important, is where you have colleagues who are saying that this work that I completed 25 years ago is still relevant to Nigeria today. And so Nigeria is unable to get the kind of progress in so many areas. When you ask yourself, why are the roads in such bad shape? Why is there electric power? Why in terms of water production? I mean, you name it, any area of governmental activity in Nigeria, there has been underperformance. And underperformance, as many Nigerians themselves recognize, is that whether somebody is elected to the office or appointed to it, what do they actually do when they're actually in that position? And this is why my colleagues, if you look at the number of media commentaries, are really saying that we have to get beyond this very prebendal attitude to the use of government resources.
Now, what is the root cause or the source of prebendal attitudes? Do you relate that to our traditional systems and our understanding of power, people's understanding of power?
This use of an attitude to the use of government office, again, is something that is, you know, over time. Anybody familiar with the recent book by Francis Fukuyama on the origins of political order? He talks about patrimonial behaviors and practices as something that you find in many countries at different times. But he also distinguishes that from countries that could move towards rule-based governance so that the actual use of government is governed by laws and where there is accountability. Now, countries that do not make that transition and remain locked into these very patrimonial systems, and prebendalism is just a form of a patrimonial system, are countries that could never perform on the level of countries that have, you know, bureaucracies that very much function along the lines of achieving purposes, following procedures, and getting results that are demonstrable. So this is a transition point that all countries have to face. And in the case of Africa, many countries become stuck in a very prebendal approach to governmental office.
And let me ask you this. Who is to blame here? Is it the people or the leaders?
Oh, no, it's a combination. Everybody gets caught up in that. The so-called leaders come into office and they behave in certain ways, and people themselves expect that people in those offices are actually going to use the resources to look after them. And so you get these patron-client systems that are established. And both people, supposedly leaders and followers, are not going by the rules. And this is why I'm saying you have to move towards a more rule-based, transparent, accountable system.
Is that why most of our leaders on the African continents stay in power for such a long time and sometimes refuse to leave power until they're pushed out by force?
Well, that is, I mean, it incorporates this, but of course it's a wider problem. Mm. I mean, once people get into power, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And this is where we find many leaders who, you know, proclaim democracy and obedience to the rule of law. And once they get into office, they start changing it. And this is why we've had so much slippage backward from some of the democratic progress. But the prebendal system becomes part of that general system of very personalist rule. In fact, the two terms tend to go together, personalist and patrimonial, because, you know, it's a kind of a personalist attitude. In other words, when I come to office, when I come to office as a president or as a minister or as the director of an agency, and I sort of acquire that office, I appropriate that office in a very personal way. And anybody who wants to be served on the basis of that office have to show, have to work with me in certain ways. And those ways undermine the rule of law, undermine procedures, and it undermines democracy.
Now, how do we begin to move away from this type of thinking? I mean, you came up with this theory about 20 years ago,
right.
over 20 years ago.
Right.
Over the course of these many years, Nigeria has gone through these different transitions, went through military rule, and now they have civilian rule. At what point do you get out of that cycle, get away from a prebendal attitude, if I may say?
Exactly. Well, every country, and this is a very critical point, that every country has to find its path out of that system. I mean, if you know, I am speaking to you from the United States, from Illinois, and very close to the city of Chicago. And many people know Chicago and associate Chicago with, you know, the very corrupt uses of power, in the past. Of course, we also have it in the present. A number of our governors have been sent to jail. But we have systems here in place now to really minimize the effects of this very prebendal attitude. Now, every country has to find its own approach. Now, if you look across the world, if you look at, for example, look at the Scandinavian countries. I mean, they're the most advanced in demanding the very transparent and accountable use of office. And people will be thrown out of office for what would be considered very minimal abuses. And all the way, you know, if you go all the way on the other end to India or Kenya or Nigeria, I mean, these are countries in which the opposite prevails. And so how each country finds its way forward really depends on that action. And so in the case of Nigeria, and this is why it's so important, Nigeria is a democratic country. It's a federal country. It has a federation. Nigerians are very empowered. And it's so Nigerians themselves to really recognize that the reason why we do not have progress in so many critical areas is because we have been so locked into that system. And we have to break out of it. Now, in the private sector, a lot of progress is being made because a lot of private entrepreneurs really realize that we want to establish businesses that really function in very efficient ways. And the same thing is happening with some of the state governments. And the government of, you know, the governor of Ekiti State, who is Dr. Kayode Fayemi, he recently came to power in that state, and he's the one who was a sponsor of this. We have in Lagos State, where this was held, and Governor Fashola, Babatunde Fashola, has made tremendous progress. And you will notice, if you read the reports on the conference, that many of the governors sent representatives to take part in these discussions, because they realize that we have to ourselves tackle this issue head on.
You're mentioning a couple of political leaders, governors.
Right.
Isn't this a discussion that should be held on a private sector level? In essence, the private sector becomes the driver for the government. And you basically start changing attitudes that way so that the government starts feeling accountable to its people.
No. You can't. I mean, I'm saying the private sector is very important. But if you look at Nigeria earns a great deal of its income, as you know, from the export of petroleum.
Right.
And those resources go into governments. And so you have federal governments, state governments, local governments with tremendous resources coming into them. And so you have to tackle that problem. I mean, all of the fundamental issues that we're talking about in terms of water and electric power, making progress in terms of roads and agriculture, even with Nigeria, even they talk about, you know, even getting a railway going. I mean, all of these things, you need to have a very capable state. And in order to have a capable state, you have people in those offices who have the right attitudes and behaviors. If they don't, then you will get crumbling roads. You'll be in a situation where Nigeria now, you know, produces electric power on the level of like the island of Puerto Rico. I mean, it's really, very clear to many Nigerians how much the prebendal attitudes have really held them back. So you are correct that it's important for the private sector to play a very important position, but you need to have government, you have to get civil society actors, you have to get faith-based organizations. I mean, this has to be a total national, societal movement.
But it's a movement that is, again, I'll bring you back to the government. It seems it's a movement that is going to be controlled by the government because it's the biggest stakeholder here. It holds these economic strings. In a liberal economy, Nigeria is a liberal economy, isn't that correct?
Correct.
Shouldn't you take away some of those powers? I understand every country needs a government, and it plays a very important role. But taking away that economic power so that people feel, aside from this government where you can go and sit in an office and you feel like you're an overload over resources, that your driver is somebody else on the side. You know, and you're just there to make policy to help.
No. I'm afraid I cannot agree with you.
Mm.
I mean, nobody would say that about the United States right now in terms of what we're facing, you know, or with France or any of the countries that we're looking at. I mean, this is why at the conference in Lagos, I talked, we have a global crisis of governance right now.
Right.
And so it's not only Nigeria or Kenya or Senegal or any of the other countries. We have a global crisis of governance in different ways. And so, yes, you have to talk about how governments actually perform. Now, in the case of Nigeria, I mean, Nigeria, the hundreds of billions of dollars that have flown into that country and which continue to flow into that country, I mean, right now, Nigeria should be, you know, a middle-level country. I mean, and in my talk, we should be talking about Nigeria now the way we talk about Brazil and countries like Indonesia or even the progress you see in countries like Turkey. So, you know, this breakthrough in the public sector, I mean, the World Bank, you know, recently issued a 10-year report, and it says that the foundation of the new strategy, 10-year strategy, is going to be governance and public sector capacity. So you can't really get away from that. I mean, this is, you know, it's an obstacle and a hurdle in the way of these countries moving forward. What if, in fact, if you talk to most people in the private sector, in Nigeria, and I interact with them a great deal, I mean, they have to deal with the government. And when they have to deal with all of this bribery and this corruption and with people being put into positions where their only thought is really how they will be able to get, you know, money on the side and misuse funds and so on. I mean, the private sector itself is really held back by these attitudes. So they also need to see governments that overcome these prebendal behaviors.
All right, thank you.
All the best.